First Sunday of 2019, we are going to focus on our theme verse. I'm going to be doing a series on entitled The Power of Abiding. So for the next several messages, we'll do chapter 15, 16, and 17. But today I want to focus primarily on verse 16, which is our theme verse. And I've entitled this particular message, The Privilege of Being Chosen. The privilege of being chosen. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly have experienced it. Growing up, you are in the schoolyard, and they pick two captains of teams, and then the captain is supposed to pick who's going to be on their side. Have you ever experienced that? And there you're just waiting. I hope they pick me. I hope they pick me. I hope I'm not the last one. And sometimes you have one odd person, meaning not odd person, but odd number. And then they say, well, you need to sit on sideline. Fortunately with God, he has chosen us. And he chose us and picked us from the beginning of time. And I don't want you to miss the part here of the message where Jesus loved you so much, loved me so much, that he chose us personally. He chose us personally, and that will make a huge difference. So John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So for the next several weeks, John 15 is going to be dissected along with 16 and 17. And I'm going to encourage us to allow this to become the rudder for us, to guide us as a church and to guide us as individuals in how we live out our faith, our Christianity. So we're going to focus a lot on discipleship and on prayer. And we're going to begin to look at how are we showing the rest of the world that we are Christians. What difference does it make that we are Christians? So the challenge is going to be, we can't just say we're Christians. We're going to be able to need to act like Christians. Allowing God to infuse us with his spirit and his power, so that the things that we can't do on our own, because one of the things that we will see is that we can do nothing without Christ, but with him we can do all things, and allow him to be able to infuse us with his power so we are able to do the things that will be pleasing in his sight. So the power of abiding, I will deal with that more specifically next time, but the power of abiding is to have, and I did an acrostic for that too, right? An aspiration to build an indispensable dependence on the eternal. An aspiration, a great desire, a longing to be able to build an indispensable, something that you can't do without, dependence on the eternal, depending on God. Again, we will learn that apart from him, we can't do anything. And I know all of us have done a lot, have accomplished much in our lives, and we say, you know, God was not necessarily part of it. I didn't ask him. I just was able to do it because I was smart enough and I had enough resources, whatever. I accomplished things. But I want you to know that all those things that we accomplish without God, it's like building a house on a foundation of sand. The structure will look good temporarily, but it will fall apart. So we want to make sure we're building on the right foundation. So Jesus chose us. I'm going to use verse 16 so much today that you will memorize it already by the time you finish the service today. That's the goal. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We all hunger for meaningful relationships. God created us in such a way that we want to have meaningful relationships. And unfortunately, not everybody has meaningful relationships in their lives. A lot of people are lonely. A lot of people have many acquaintances, but they don't have real friends. And they long for it. Because sometimes when you, whether you're rich and famous, and people come around you, you never know if they're coming for your influence, your money, or for your friendship. God has called us to be his friend. And I was reading just earlier this week of Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who was a lonely genius. When his father died, he was sent to England, and he went to study at the University of Cambridge at the age of 19. And he was so smart that he could have followed medicine, philosophy, or writing. And he decided eventually to go into writing, and he became a scholar. And he was a poet, a critic, a playwright. He had a lot of notoriety. In his 20s, he was already lecturing on Shakespeare and Milton. All these things. But yet at the age of 24, he was into drugs because he was so lonely. He wanted to deaden this sense of loneliness. Everything that he wrote throughout his life was around misery, tragedy, and barrenness of life. Except for one particular poem that he wrote titled Youth and Age. And one line of that poem says, friendship is a sheltering tree. Friendship is a sheltering tree, something that he never had. He did have some friends towards the end that cared for him because of what he was going through, but he longed to have a friend. And maybe some of us are here today longing to have a friend, a real friend, a true friend that we can be comfortable with. In verse 14, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friend if you do what I command you. So the question is, are we truly his friend? Because he has a standard around his friendship. He is in charge of this friendship. He has all the power. And he wants to engage us as his friend, but he says, you are my friend if you do what I command you. Even the Apostle Paul had a hard time finding true friends in the ministry. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 and following, it says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. The Apostle Paul was longing to have a friend, a trusted friend, that he can send around. Because he said, not everybody is concerned for the welfare of the people, the spiritual welfare of the people. And this is where we are going to develop in our discipleship to be a spiritual friend, that we can be of kindred spirit, and that we can continue to encourage one another to love Christ, to receive the love of Christ, and to be able to just love the people around us. Because as we will see, love in this chapter is used over and over again, because it is the power that draws people. It is the power that changes hearts and minds. And so we need to be mindful of that. So the power of abiding creates purpose. Jesus appointed you. Again, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Jesus has a purpose for us. He has an appointment for us. And so I ask the question, are you disappointed with your appointment? Are you disappointed with your appointment? In other words, God has called you to something, but you're looking at somebody else over there and says, well, why didn't God call me for that? That looks so much more exciting, right? And we're constantly comparing ourselves, wanting to be somebody else that we're not called to be. There is no greater joy than knowing what you've been called for. So this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, went to get my bagel for breakfast, and the young lady at the register was certainly not too happy to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said to myself as I was driving back, isn't it wonderful that I know what God has called me to do, that even at 6 o'clock in the morning, I can have a smile on my face, going to work, just like she went to work. But I know exactly why I'm here, what I've been called to do. I don't envy anybody else. I don't want to do anybody else's job. I want to do just what God has called me to do. What a powerful thing when you are not disappointed with your appointment. If you're disappointed with your appointments because you probably are in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, not what God has called you to do. And again, I want to encourage you, please, as you seek to do, especially for our young people, as you seek to do what you're going to do in life, go with what God has put in your heart. Go with the passion that God has created in you. Because if you go for something else, you will miss out. You may have a lot of things, but you will miss out in that sense of fulfillment, the joy of doing what you've been called to do. So I want to encourage you to think about Matthew 25, for instance, where this parable here, Jesus talked about a master who gave some talent, some money to his servants. To one he gave 5, to the other he gave 2, and to the other he gave 1. And so the one that had 5, it says immediately he went and put it to work and gained 5 more. And Jesus says when his master returned, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had 2 talents, he went and invested that and had 2 more. And Jesus said, his master came to him and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. See, the one that had 5 and the one that had 2 received the same acknowledgement. Because God is not going to ask you, it's not going to reward, give you a reward based on what you produce that he didn't give you. He's going to base it on what he's given you, the abilities that he's given you. That's it. So whether it's 5 or 2, just use it and you'll be blessed. Because the one that had 1 talent, he decided, you know, this is not fair. Why did that one get 5 and that one get 2 and I just got 1? And Jesus, in that particular parable, had some strong words. In verse 26 of Matthew 25, if we can put that on the screen, it says, but his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You wicked, lazy slave. It's not that 1 talent was not enough. It's that maybe whatever else was going on, he didn't put to work what he was supposed to do. He became lazy. He did not use his talent properly. So do you trust the sovereignty of God? Do you feel short-cheated by God because you don't have as many talents or as much as somebody else? Do you believe that God really loves you? Because sometimes we say, if God really loved me, then he would give me more. Right? But that's not the way God works. God loves you and gives you what he wants you to have. And if you put to work what he gives you, he multiplies it. So don't look at somebody else, because that's never going to help you. That's never going to work. Look at what God has given you. Trust his love and sovereignty. He has a plan for that 1 talent that you have. Don't go hiding it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, It says, but the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging receives but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. We need to realize that we want to have more, and we don't realize the more we have, the more work it's going to be. Right? So that's why sometimes I don't want to learn everything. Because if I learn to do everything, then people will just come to me and ask me. So if I don't know, I say, well, go see Christine. Oh, go see Julia. Right? Because I don't want to know everything. Literally, I don't want to know everything. Because the more you know, the more abilities you have, the more will be required of you. I just want to know what God wants me to know. And I want to be faithful to that. But some of us want to have so much because it gives us a sense of importance that everybody's coming to us for the answer. Right? It makes us feel important. And it's not about feeling important. It's about fulfilling your calling, whatever your calling has been from God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says this, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And he wants us to operate on what he's given us. No more, no less. God will do great things through you, regardless of how you perceive your gift, your abilities. Our problem is that we sometimes don't recognize the power of God. We don't recognize the power of small things. And if you think about it, a lot of things that have happened in the world started with a small thing. It was not a big thing. It was a small thing, small thought that was developed, and over time, it took off. Because whatever God puts in your heart at first looks not that impressive. And God is testing us to see, will you be willing to move with that? Can you trust me with this little thing that I'm giving you? Would you trust me with this little thought, this little idea that I gave you? Because if you do, then he will develop it. Everything developed over time can become a pretty big deal. But it never really starts as a big deal. It always starts small. So our primary appointment is to bear fruit, but it's not just kind of any fruit. It is fruit that would remain. And again, this is where we will be challenged throughout this year, throughout this series for sure, to make sure that we are bearing fruit that make a difference, fruit that remains, that lasts, and that we will be able to judge ourselves based on the fruit that we're producing. And it's not something that you're going to force yourself to produce, but it's something that God will produce in you and through you. So we're going to be encouraging us to be open to God in the process of discipleship, to be able to do what God is calling us to do, to have faith in what he's calling us to do, and to just move forward and see how he's going to develop everything in and through us. And these are things that we're going to delve much deeper in. So the power of abiding gives you access. Again, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So we're going to have two prongs. We're going to talk about discipleship and we're going to talk about prayer. Because Jesus has called us, has appointed us to bear fruit, fruit that would last, so that whatever we ask of the Father in his name, he may give us. So Jesus gives us access to the throne of grace. And so I wrote there under that third point, a friend's referral can give you great access. All you need is one person to connect you with another person, and you can have access to great stuff. I have a lot of meaningful connections in Providence and Rhode Island and all the way down to D.C., right? Because one person in particular made sure that he took me around and said to the people, this is my pastor, right? The door was open, the access was there, and then you develop the relationship. See, but the thing is, the door is open, you have access, but then you have to prove yourself, right? Because if you have access and you mess up, guess what? The door closes very quickly, right? So when you have been given this access, make sure you prove yourself. Do the work. Be the person that you ought to be. And in Christ, this is what we're going to do. So I did an acrostic for the word access. Letter A stands for ability. The ability to connect with confidence, especially when situations are stressful. The ability to connect with confidence, especially when situations are stressful. This is when you need access. When everything's going well, you don't need access. Right? Very few people have come into my office and said, Pastor, I'm coming in to tell you great news. Right? They usually come in and, Pastor, I'm in trouble. We need to pray. Right? But then this is where you have the ability to connect with confidence in stressful situations. To know that God is listening to you. To know that you have access to God. But you know one thing? The enemy is going to constantly put in your mind this whole thing, access denied. And you need to know God is not going to deny you access, ever. But the devil is going to make you feel and think that access has been denied. I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me a couple of times. I go to my computer. I start working on a document. I save it. And then I go back to look for it. And it says, I don't have access to that document. And it's like I created a document. What do you mean I don't have access to the document? Talking to the computer, right? But this is the enemy. God has given us access, but the enemy continues to tell us access denied. And some of us are believing what the enemy is saying. And I want you to know, access to God is never denied. You need to believe that with confidence, that when you call upon him, he will hear you. But through this whole process, we'll go back that you are my friends if you do what I command you. Because you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Access comes with obedience. Consistent access comes with consistent obedience. The only time access is going to be denied, it's not really because God has denied it as much as because we feel like we've messed up so badly that we don't deserve access. And that's when we decide not to go. That's when we believe the enemy that says your access has been denied because you've messed up. And the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have access to the Almighty God. And that's why we're going to encourage again this whole notion of prayer, because it is the most powerful thing ever. And I've seen it work over and over and over again in situations that you would just, it's almost like hopeless situations. And sometimes you're praying, it's almost like you're going through the motion, but you don't quite believe it's going to happen. And yet God surprises you and says, here you go. That's to continue to renew our faith, to be reminded that God really loves us, that God is really able, that he is there for us. So don't let anyone deny you access, especially not the enemy, and don't let your sins deny you access either. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? Anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and mind. Because you know what? It's in your heart and mind that you have this sense of either you have access or not. This is trying to protect you to recognize you always have access when you come to God in prayer. His peace that passes all understanding will continue to hold you up, continue to remind you you have access. Sometimes we sit around and talk about, I don't know how people make it in the world without faith in God. How difficult, how heavy it must be to go through all that we go through in life without having a sense of hope that there's a God who calls us his friend, who wants to help us, and we don't even know how to get to him. So as we conclude, I have a couple of things there on reflection and application. Going back to that sheltering tree. A sheltering tree bears the fruit of security, confidence, care, and encouragement. So I want you to evaluate your fruits. Evaluate your fruits. Be honest with yourself. See what's going on in your life. Is it producing the fruit of the Spirit? A sheltering tree has roots that abide. Are you abiding in Christ? Do you have this aspiration to build this indispensable dependence on the eternal? And lastly, friendship lends warmth and meaning to life. Be a friend to somebody else. And be a real friend, a good friend, a sincere friend. Work on that, because there's so many people that are so lonely because they don't have a real friend. Maybe we can be that friend. Let us pray. Again, as we are beginning this new year, as we're talking about what Jesus has called us to, primarily these messages are geared towards those who already believe. But maybe there's some of you here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe as you heard different things, there's something in you that's saying, you know, maybe I want to be in that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to know him personally. I want to turn my life over to him. Is there anyone here today, just by raising your hand, will say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to turn my life over to him. I want to live for him. If we are in a place where we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we begin this new year, first Sunday, let's renew our vows to our relationship with God, that this year, no matter how far we strayed last year, that this year we'll seek for a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Gracious God, once again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for, as we are discovering and paying more attention, that you chose us, broken, unworthy, sinful, yet you chose us. Your word tells us that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. So we thank you for choosing us. Father, you have appointed us to bear fruit. So I pray, help us to be able to see the evidence of your Spirit in us, to pay attention to the fruits coming out of us. And Father, we want to thank you for the access that you've given us. And Father, I pray that you help each one of us as we begin this year to remember, to know without a shadow of a doubt, that you will never deny us access. And help us not to believe the lies that may come through our thoughts, words of people around us, that may make us feel like our access has been denied. So, Father, we thank you for loving us this much. Help us nurture our relationship with you. As we go from this place, we pray that you go with us, watch over us. Let this year be a year of transformation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.